بسم الله، الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. My name is Badr al-Din Muhammad.
My name is Talha Rafiq.
And welcome back to the College Muslim Podcast, a podcast where we talk about our experiences going through high school and college in a Western society. Just a little disclaimer before we start. We are not scholars, we're not alim, we're not sheikhs. So anything that we say on this podcast is our own experiences that we've gone through throughout college and high school in America, and sort of how we've uses the tools and strategies to go through that and how we've contextualized our experiences, inshallah. Today we have some very special guests that I will let Talha introduce.
Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Today we have my boy Ayan and his sister Neha, who we're going to interview. I just botched her name up. I promise you I botched her name up, but it's okay. I'll let them introduce themselves. But essentially, Ayan and his sister are both basketball players, played at the college level, and I believe, Neha, you're out, right, of college? Mm-hmm. Right. So they're going to kind of dive into like what it was like playing at a high level in America while maintaining their Islam throughout that, and what kind of like challenges they had to face. And they have quite a few good stories because I was talking to them earlier about it, and I was really quite impressed with what they had to go through to do what they wanted to do in the proper fashion. So I'm just going to let them introduce themselves. So if you guys could like just share your name, who you guys are, where you grew up, and we'll pick up right after that.
Well, assalamu alaikum, everyone. I'm Ayan. We both grew up in El Paso, Texas. We went to the same schools growing up. The only difference we have really is going to two different universities. Do you want to kind of expand on that, Nee?
Yeah. So hi, everyone. My name is Neha. I'm obviously a sister. And we went to separate universities. I went to Utah Valley University, and then he went to Lamar University.
Nice. All right. So today we're talking about like specifically the journey of an athlete while being Muslim. And that's something like all four of us kind of relate to. Brother Dean played volleyball in high school. I played football. You guys both played basketball. And we all played at a pretty decently high level. And it was just like an experience for both of us that we knew we wanted to talk about. We just didn't play at a college level. So you want to make sure to include that. And surprisingly, I guess technically, it was kind of unique seeing YouTube at that level, and especially with your specifics, like background. So that's my first question, is just starting like as early as possible. Like, when did you guys first start playing basketball? Was there like time, or did you guys pick it in high school, or when did you guys really start?
We actually picked it up from my older brother. Growing up, my parents really wanted us to play baseball because it resembles cricket so much. But our older brother started playing basketball, and we kind of just caught on. I started playing at the age of 11, 12. I don't know about you, Neha.
Yeah, so Asher, our older brother, is the one who started the whole basketball scene. And then after that, Ion picked it up in like fourth grade or something like that. So all of my brothers were involved in sports. I was always going to their games, watching, you know, their, film sessions, and just like being supportive throughout the process. And then for me, I started playing in seventh grade. It was kind of inevitable for me to also pick up the basketball because like all of us were playing at that point.
She was also like 5'11 at this time. She was
okay,
a giant. So like it only made sense for her to play.
So I picked up a basketball in seventh grade. I tried out for our middle school team, and really the rest is history.
Amazing. And then you guys continued playing out throughout high school, right? So which high school did you guys both go to?
We went to Coronado High School, and it's kind of funny because we're 2 years apart. So whenever she was at the same high school we went to, I was known as Neha's brother. And I hated that so much.
And it's so funny because you introduced us, and you're like, Ion's sister. I was like, here we go. I'm not going to hear the end of it.
No, because she was a star in high school, you know, especially with basketball and all the offers and, you know, quote unquote fame she had in high school. I was always known as Neha's brother until she left. So
he was so excited when I graduated. He was like, thank gosh, I don't have to be under her shadow.
Yeah. No, that's something you guys mentioned too, was like when Ayan started like blowing up on social media, it was like, oh, now it's Ayan's sister, not Neha's brother.
Yeah. I had to wait my turn.
Yeah. I mean, it's here now, so that's a good thing. But okay, so that's kind of where I want to start, was high school. Because I think most like Muslim teenagers or Muslim kids, right, they don't really start thinking about religion until high school. Correct me if I'm wrong about you guys, right, but is that also the time that you started thinking about, like, forget religion and basketball, just like talking about religion as a whole? Like, is that the first time you actually started, like, you know, like
identity, that kind of stuff,
like looking into your own identity and being like, oh, like, what is this whole Islam thing, like, why am I praying five times a day? Was that the time, or was it earlier than that?
For me, absolutely. You know, growing up, we did go to Sunday school, but, you know, you said it best. I didn't take it seriously until, you know, high school. I don't know about you, Neha.
Yeah, same.
Mm. And so, like, with that, like, what was the experience there? Like, in general, just what do you, like, with the religion. Not, we're not diving into sports yet. Just in the religious aspect, though, like, what was your kind of, like, journey religiously in high school? And if naturally the basketball intertwines with that, go ahead and elaborate on that, too.
I think growing up in El Paso, we were always, like, I always knew I was different and that I believed in something different from my peers, because the majority of people here believe, or are Catholic, I think, like, 90% of the population is. Sure. So we were always a lot different. There were things that we couldn't eat and couldn't, you know, say, versus like our peers. And so I always kind of knew I was like an odd man out. And so growing up, like going to Sunday school, I felt like I was forced to go. And it was just like this thing that my parents were like, just like enrolling me to do. And it's just like, you're brought up doing that. And you're like dreading Sundays, because you're like, oh, I really don't want to do this. But then in high school, it starts getting a lot more serious for you, because then you start like understanding who you are and your identity in high school. And so for me, like, I was able to seek my faith then, and it allowed me to like research, and I was able to do my own research and, you know, gather more information that way, and like taking it upon myself to grow in my faith and understand it a little bit better. Because yeah, growing up, you're forced to go to Sunday school, you know that you need to pray 5 times a day, you have all these stories that, you know, you're taught at a young age, but you don't really understand it until like you put the effort in to gain that knowledge, if that makes any sense. And so yeah, that was for me in high school the biggest point.
I think for me, the turnaround was, I think, sophomore year during Ramadan. You know, I sat with my mom and we kind of just explored the religion more, because I wasn't really religious then. I wasn't praying 5 times a day. But just the peace and tranquility it brought to my life really made the difference.
Yeah. Yeah. And so how did that eventually, I guess, like, I guess we could start first, like, off the bat. Like, I was talking to you guys earlier about this, too. You told me a story about how, you know, the refs or maybe the counselor of for whatever basketball organization wasn't going to let you wear like leggings underneath your shorts. So what was the deal there? Like, what was the entire story? Like, what happened that you had to go and like fight for that in order to like have that as something that you would help you observe your Islamic beliefs while playing the sport?
Yeah. So when I first started playing basketball, when I first ever tried out, I had no idea what to wear, because back in the day, like when I first started, I didn't have a lot of like Muslim women to look up to in the sport of basketball. Even to this day, there's only a couple of Muslim women, you know, that really fully cover themselves. And I had always like covered myself, just not worn the hijab. And so for me, it was challenging to figure out like, what am I going to wear to tryouts? Like, they wear shorts and t-shirts. Like, what am I supposed to wear? And so it's so funny. I walked into our tryouts, and I still remember this to this day. I was wearing like this oversized, like baggy t-shirt, these like really oversized like pants, and just like the most bright orange tennis shoes. And I don't know, somehow I got selected. It probably because I was 5'11". I don't know. but yeah, and get them to allow me to wear that underneath my leggings or underneath my shorts.
I actually want to dive into that a little bit.
Yeah,
do you mind?
Yeah, you can go for it. Yeah.
So, like, you talked a little about that you didn't really start exploring Islam until your high school, right? So, when you were going through this whole, like, I guess, fight with the legal fight with the district, like, what was kind of your mental state during this time? Like, when it comes to Islam, and like, were you dead set on like, oh, I need this. Like, I don't care. Like, if I don't get to play basketball at all, that's fine. Or were you like teetering around? Like, what's going through your mind during that time?
I think we were pretty dead set on making sure that I could do that. And religiously, like, that's kind of the, I guess, beauty of being in America. Like, they allow you to, you know, have freedom of religion and so forth. And so I was pretty dead set on that. I mean, if they weren't going to change it, I probably wouldn't have played basketball. My mom and I, like, growing up, I had always covered myself. And so it wasn't going to be this, like, oh, now basketball is introduced into my life, so I'm going to change who I am, right? And so it's like, either they're going to mold and figure it out for me, or I'm not going to play. That was kind of the two options, I guess, I was given.
Is there a large Muslim community where you're at, or is it kind of like...
So everyone's always gassing up Texas.
Yeah.
No, it's... the part of Texas we live in, it's not a very big Muslim population. And majority of Muslims here are Arabs. So even in terms of this, there's probably like a few, 20, 30 families tops.
Gotcha. Was that a factor, like, do you think, in that whole, like, the reason why that, like, fight had to... Not fight, but I guess why you had to, like, fight for... Yeah, why you had to fight for that? Was it because there wasn't that big of an understanding of what Muslims do?
Definitely. I'm sure they had never gotten something like that before.
Not only that, let me add on top. There's not many Muslims in sports in general. And then being in El Paso, it's literally just her. So That just made it even harder because there's nobody behind her saying, yo, I want to play basketball and I need to cover up too.
So how did you two like learn to navigate that? So let me get more specific because that's a very general topic. But okay, so there's not that many Muslim in sports. That's the first thing. The second thing is you decided to play in a place that really has no Muslims overall, right? So did that draw of like, because I myself played sports, right? And I went to a private high school that was like very, very big on sports. So it's like, it drew a lot for me. And like, I had a lot of struggles as well. And I was like, it always constantly demanded something that just happened to go against Islamic beliefs, right? And I mean this in a friend's way too. Was that, so were there elements of maybe like friends doing things that you were not supposed to do or
just the culture,
of certain aspects of the sports stuff, right? Or even the things they talk about, like Ayan, I'm sure you can relate, like the guy's locker room is not a soft place, it's not made for everyone, right?
Or the bus.
So, and a lot of times as a guy, or the bus.
Away games, man.
Away games or something else.
Those buses are not very halal.
But, you know, I mean, I personally can lead into like the fact that I used to feel guilt sometimes about the things that my friends would talk about or the things I would partake in, even just being a bystander or even saying something just to be included. So like, how did you kind of either navigate then or how did you use your growth as you grew out of maybe high school and maybe into college? Like, how did you manage to like make your identity Muslim so that people would somehow respect that, you know? Because I know people respect, it's a cool thing about a free country is you can believe what you want to believe. So how did you craft your identity to be like, okay, this is Muslim, these are my limits, and then I really am not going to go over these limits?
Boundaries.
So I guess setting boundaries.
Yeah, I think that was one of the biggest things in choosing a school for me. I had a lot of East Coast interest, and so when I went on my official visit, like the first thing they were wanting me to do was like go party with them
and drink
and, you know, drink and get involved in that situation. Me, I don't do any of that stuff. So it was like, I had to put my foot down and be like, I can't like attend all this. You know what I mean? And right away, it was like a red flag for them. They were already like, you know, maybe we don't want her, you know? And I felt that. And so a lot of like my East Coast options, I kind of just cut down on because I was like, I don't fit here. It's not going to work for me. And so I'm going to find a school that works for me. And so when I went to visit Utah Valley, actually the coaches had, you know, an entire rule book on like how they is no drinking, no smoking, no parties, none of that kind of stuff. And that was one of the biggest things that drew me into the school. And, you know, a lot of coaches and a lot of teams maybe have that as like a rule book, but no one really follows it. And so in my school, like there were girls who were kicked off the team like a couple of years prior. And so I knew our coaching staff was very, I guess, they really enforced those rules. And so that was something that really drew me to that. And although Utah was mainly LDS and there are some similarities between that religion and Islam, it worked out for me. You know, like they dress modest, we dress modest, they don't drink, I didn't drink.
It's too conservative.
You know, it's very conservative, very similar. And so in that aspect, I got lucky. And that was one of the biggest things I chose when deciding to go to school there.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Ayan? I mean, you can also talk, I guess, like I don't know what sports are like for girls, right, or women, but for boys and guys, like I know that scene. So how did you kind of navigate that scene, or how have you navigated that scene?
Definitely, I think, you know, being one of the best players in El Paso my senior year, there was a lot of clout that came with it, and I'm sure Neha could agree with me on that because she was one of the best players in the city as well. And every athlete, you know, is partying, you know, drinking after games, after a good night, you know, they're gonna be partying. And, you know, every single one of my teammates was partying from high school through college, especially high, like even some of my best friends, since there's not a majority of Muslim community in Texas, you know, a lot of my best friends were Catholic. And I guess, you know, drinking and stuff like that is kind of part of their culture in a sense. But yeah, I put my foot down with them and they knew that. So they kind of protected me in that way. Like my best friends, you know, we all played basketball together in high school. And anytime there was a party and stuff, you know, and everybody was like, oh, we got to bring Ayan, you know, like, he's that guy, you know, they would kind of protect me, be like, no, like, Ayan's not going, like, regardless, like, we'll go, but, you know, Ayan's not going. Even though I already put my foot down there, you know, continuously pressing me to go, you know, my friends were there for me, and I really appreciate that about them. But in college, it was, like, totally different. After even, like, away games, you know, they were partying. Like, I've never seen this in my life. Like, you know, we have an away game in New Orleans. We're from Texas. We have an away game in New Orleans, like, the night before a game, like, they're all partying and stuff, all my teammates. But I was lucky to have one Muslim teammate, and we got pretty close throughout my college career. And he actually brought me closer to my dean, which I really appreciate. So I'm really appreciative of him.
I actually want to follow up on that. So I have a brother right now who's running track as well, and he's interested in getting into the whole like D1 situation too. So you were talking about how you had a couple of non-Muslim friends who were sort of like protecting you and like supporting you. Did you have to let them know early on that, oh, hey, I'm Muslim, and then like, explain everything, or did they kind of just pick up on that, or
how's that? I think I definitely had conversations with them, because they were always like, I'm like, why don't you ever like go out? Like, why don't you be a little social? And I'm pretty social in a sense, you know, in a gathering, you know, I don't have to go partying to be social. I'm pretty outgoing guy per se. But yeah, I did talk to them. They're like, you know, you never party, you never have fun. I'm like, I do have fun, just not in the way you guys do, you know?
Yeah.
So they kind of understood that.
That's the biggest thing they ask. Like,
yeah. Is why don't you guys have fun outside of basketball, outside of studies? I'm like, we do. It's just not the way you guys have fun.
And it's curiosity. They want to know, like, why doesn't he engage in those things? Why aren't you at these, like, different social gatherings? And so it's human nature to ask those questions. But, yeah, we explained to them and educated them on what we believe in. And after that, it was kind of like they protected him,
yeah,
for sure.
I think a big part in that is our parents, you know, kind of raising us the right way and us not deviating from that course, especially, you know, when a bunch of fame and a clout per se you know, being a big basketball star in your city, I give a lot of credits to my parents for keeping us on that line.
Yeah, I mean, I also see the vibe that you guys became each other's backbone in some ways. Because I could tell, like, did you maybe have the, like, older sister guide younger brother through it? Or was it more like, oh, we're talking about, like, the active...
I think it also helped that I was at the same high school as him, and they knew we were siblings, and so it was kind of like very similar, and we're very similar in what we do and what we study and everything, and so
everything.
They kind of already knew. Yeah, so they already kind of knew that I didn't do that kind of stuff, so like even trying to push him to do it was probably many people doing that to you versus I probably got it worse.
Definitely.
When asked to go to parties and all this kind of stuff, so I kind of already like, you know, shut that down before he came, and I was also kind of like hovering over just to make sure he was good.
She was kind of a mom throughout school. A protective older sister. I'm really appreciative of that, though.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's not a negative aspect of what you did for me. I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
But no, she definitely put her foot down, and that kind of helped me in my sense, because they were like, yo, that's Neha's sister. Obviously, if she's not going, he's not going to go either.
But the thing is, I would have known if he did anything, because like, I had eyes everywhere. I would tell
everyone.
I would tell him. I'd be like, I'm not in your class, but I'll get the information, okay? So don't, like,
I'm telling you, I was Neha's brother. I was never Ion. I was Neha's brother.
Hilarious. Oh, how'd that go with teachers, though? Same thing?
It was honestly, for me, it was a breeze, because she was already, like, I don't know what you graduated in high school. So you were, like, top 2%.
Oh, yeah.
So she already had a good reputation of, you know, being a good student athlete. So all the teachers expected that out of me as well. So it was kind of, you know.
I think that's fun. That's something to hit on, too. It's like, I think automatically they think if you play a sport, like, you're kind of not fully there. Automatically just think that, like, we're dumb and that, like, we won't be proactive.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I had to, like, work twice as hard to explain to them, like, hey, I'll be proactive. Like, I'll make sure, like, the work gets done, whatever I'm, like, traveling or not there. And so just setting that. And then also, like, I kind of already knew, like, what teachers to take and what classes to take. So just guiding him that way was also, like, he just got the easy end of the stick, basically, is what I'm trying to say.
Absolutely.
You're a royalty fee when you start making an income. 3% on your income. Yeah.
He's your manager.
I mean, wow. Okay. So I want to swing back around to, because it's kind of interesting. You're talking about your experience, but like, I find it really interesting how you were able to navigate it with the people. I get that. And it makes sense how you did that. But how did you navigate as individuals? What I mean is, like, how did you make, say, prayer a part of your routine? Because, I mean, Ayan, I've seen your videos. Like, obviously, like, it's like you're very, very busy, right? And how did you learn how to prioritize that? I don't mean from the busyness aspect. Like, obviously include that. Like, but a lot of, you know, a lot of friends I have, they meditate routinely. That is the same thing. That is discipline.
They're
but how did you create that time to prioritize Islam? Whether it's, I'm just asking about prayer because I know that's a staple core of the religion, but maybe it's reading Quran that you do on the side too, or, you know, I don't know, whatever you may do. Maybe
rotation Ramadan as well.
Rotation Ramadan. Like, basically, like, how did you balance? Okay, let's start with there. How did you start with namaz, and how did you start with Ramadan? Both of you can answer that question, and we'll go from there.
I think in general, I didn't schedule my prayers around my schedule. I scheduled my schedule around my prayers, if that makes sense. I think that was one of the big things, because, you know, days do get busy, and, you know, sometimes you are going to miss a prayer, you know, you're going to have to make it up. But I think being disciplined and knowing, you know, this world is just a test, you know, this is Deen over Dunya always. That's like, I have that written up in my room. I think just being disciplined and, you know, understanding that everything in this world is just a material world, you know? And you want to kind of elaborate on that, Nee?
Yeah, I lost my...
Honestly, I forgot the question you asked. I don't know where I was going with that.
One, how did you integrate prayer and namaz into your routine? And the second thing is, how does Ramadan typically go for you guys? Because I was playing football and I was like dying. Like, it was bad. Like, I didn't take days off. So like, how was it? How did you guys manage that? And what let you be like, okay, I'm still doing this, or at least I'm going to try my best to get through this day, right? Like, what was that?
Yeah. For me, I think it, like, you guys kind of hit on the busyness aspect. Like, yeah, our lives are super hectic. Yeah, we have all these different things that we have to focus on. But my prayer, like, allowed me to step away from all of that for, like, 5-10 minutes and just, like, focus in on my religion. And it gave me a break from that, kind of. And if you kind of change your mindset instead of, like, I have to pray, to, like, I actually get to pray and take this time for myself to, you know, like, have this relationship with God, right? And so that was... like the change for me with like praying 5 times a day and instilling that in my life. And so just finding, you know, and I'm not going to lie and be like, yep, right when it hits, you know, Zohar time, like I'm there, you know, like, no, like sometimes you have to, it might be in an hour or 2 hours. Right. And so it's just like kind of finding that fine line. I'm like, yes, I'm going to pray it. It's just like finding that time and finding that balance for me. But yeah, it allowed me to just take time away from my busy schedule and just be able to like pray.
And then going to your question about Ramadan, I think the first time I actually, you know, went through the full Ramadan with basketball was like my junior year of high school. And junior and senior were kind of easy, but it was when I got to college, it was like, yo, this is kind of tough. I know my freshman year during Ramadan, because basketball's year-round, you know, you don't really stop playing basketball. You get like 2 weeks off after the season, you're right back to it. The first 2 weeks I couldn't do it, you know. I went through the days, you know, I fasted, but I was like, Mom, like, this is tough. Like, we're in the gym like 8 hours a day. Like, I don't know how I'm gonna balance this. And you know, with the guidance of, you know, my parents and, you know, Neha, and just having faith and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, I was able to get through it. And your body adapts eventually, you know, after like, you know, a couple of days it adapts. And like my sophomore year got easier, and then junior year is kind of like, yo, my body's used to this, you know, I need to do this. And I get to do this, like Neha said, you know, it's something like that, you know, it's not, go ahead.
Yeah, no, and I think also there's like NBA players that are Muslim and are able to fast and like are playing whole games. Yeah. And so like when I see that, I'm like, okay, if they can do it, why can't I, right?
Yeah.
And so there's always someone doing something way better than you at a huge level, and they're able to make the time and effort to do it. Mm-hmm. Why can't we?
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I see that as well.
Yeah, and I don't know bag NBA or basketball players, but I know Muslim NFL players that do the same exact thing. I'm like, bro, you can run on the field all day long in the sun. I'm sure I could do a 4-hour practice. Like, it's not that bad.
The first person I think of is Cantor, and like how he would break his fast Cantor, like mid-game. Like, it was insane to see that, because for me, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm doing cardio right now, I'm dying.
Yeah.
But he's like mid-game opening his fast, which is just insane.
It's beautiful.
To me.
Yeah.
So that's what happens when you have that kind of like motivation and like. I guess it roots in motivation, but it's faith, really, right? It's like that kind of faith. Like, you only can get through it with faith. Motivation kind of dies out. But motivation is still important, which is my next question, is like, where did you get all this motivation from? Like, you're telling me that you grew up in the side of Texas that there's not a lot of, you know,
Muslims,
right? I know that obviously that your family, you credit your mom and dad and you credit each other, but where did it come from? Like, what happened? Like, how? Like, that's my question. Like, in a world, obviously, we live in a Western world, right? But it sounds like there's less Muslims there than even that I grew up with, right? So how did you, where did that motivation come from? Like,
to be like basketball players, athletes, on top of being
Muslim. Like, where did that drive? And obviously, I understand within our faith, we're encouraged like to become best of our version, the best version of ourselves in every aspect and discipline, right? We're not just like if every single Muslim was an imam, who would be the
doctor?
Who would be the engineer? Who would be the basketball player, right? Who would fill in the rest of the roles of the world? So how did you realize that you need to prioritize this Islam thing? Like, where did that motivation come from, and why in a world like the kind of state that you live in, where it's not exactly like maybe in your area super widely accepted, so you don't have that community?
That's a very deep question.
It's a loaded question. I know. I was like, should I jump to this right now? But like, maybe it was just an overnight thing. Maybe it was like for a couple months in high school you started thinking. But what's your like earliest recollection of like,
I can do more.
I could do more. I should probably be praying. I should not only now strive for greatness the way I do for basketball, but how do I kind of like start looking into improving as a Muslim. So I'm focusing on like, when did that improvement moment happen? And what was that like? Hey, I'm only maybe praying 3 prayers right now or 2 prayers. Okay. When was the moment you were like, hey, I'm going to try waking up for Fajr, and you started setting that Fajr alarm? Like, when was that moment, you know? That's my question.
I think for me, it was junior year of high school. I think it was through some hardships, definitely, that brought me closer to Islam. I think summer of my junior year, I started having knee pain. And I think, you know, every day I was like, what can I change to make my life easier, you know, and better? Because basketball-wise, it wasn't going the greatest. And I think I just resorted to Islam and praying 5 times a day, you know, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. You know, I'm like, yo, my knees are hurting, this and that. I just wanted my life to be a lot easier. And I think being, or praying 5 times a day and being disciplined in that sense kind of brought me closer to peace. Because I think I wasn't in tranquility or peace at that time. And I think through those hardships is what kind of brought me closer to Islam and praying 5 times a day.
I would say the same, actually.
Yeah. I think for you, it's...
Yeah. My college career was crazy. Like, I was always injured. I mean, I was always taken away from the game. So, like, for me, it was... Like, I didn't have my sport to, you know, use as an outlet at that point. And so, sometimes it feels like we're on autopilot. When you asked that question, I was like, dang, I am on autopilot. I haven't really reflected about this question. But I definitely can go off of that with our injuries and...
I think it brought us closer to our deen, getting injured, which is it's ironic. But yeah, I think, you know, because who else do you resort to, you know, when you have nobody else to resort to, you know, minus your family, you know?
Yeah.
So.
No, I get that. I used to make du'as when I was on the football field, freshman and sophomore, when I didn't used to play. So like the guys who were playing, I was like, Ya Allah, let's win this game. I promise you, I'll start praying. I promise you, I'll start praying.
Okay, we do that. Absolutely. We do that all the time.
And what I didn't realize was like, Allah was going to make me do it, just not the next day. So like, I wouldn't pray the next day all the time. I wouldn't do the extra crying I was hoping for. But what I didn't realize was like 4 years down the line, it was like, oh, now it's your time to give back all those du'as that you made. And I realized that's why it's good to stay cognizant, right? Yeah. So like, that's what you guys are kind of talking about too, is like, you know, you became more cognizant. You were like, oh, I'm injured. I need something to rely on, right? And at that moment, it became a crutch, but then that grew because your crutch is something that you rely on. But the cool thing is, like, basketball, you'll keep going. One day, it's going to plateau, right? One day, your knees are going to give. Med school, doctors, eventually, they give too, right, in some way or form.
Burnout.
But the Islam thing, it just, like, it gets better as you get older, right? Like, it doesn't get worse. I mean, inshallah. So, that's actually kind of – I'm glad to see that comparison because, like, I haven't talked –
It's very common with, like, the whole hardship thing. Like, a lot of people find Islam through hardship, so – It's like, I feel like Allah SWT has placed, like, whenever you're in hardship, like, at that, like you said, like, there's no one else to turn to at that point. Like, who else do you turn to? So.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny you bring that up, you making dua, you know, on the field, because my whole free throw routine is me saying, Bismillah.
Wait, I was going to say that. It's funny. What? I was literally just going to say that. I didn't know you did that.
No, yeah, definitely.
Wait, really? That's so funny. Game-winning free throws, those are the worst, because you're, like, under pressure, and you're, like, just
like. Exactly. At that point, who do you resort to, you know, at the end of the day?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and you have, like, your teammates, like, hey, you got this, yeah. But deep down inside, you're scared. You're like, am I going to make this?
Yeah. Like, no one can help you at that point either. Like, your teammates can help you, like, when you're playing. But, like, when you're doing a free throw, like, no one can help you. The only person who can help you in the slightest is Allah at that point.
Yeah, and I feel like that relates to, like, the way we're told about the day, like, how Yawmul Qiyamah will go, too, is, like, we're told, like, no one is going to be able to attest for you on the Day of Judgment, right? Like, even your parents, your mom, like, who loves you, like, way too many times over, she's not going to be able to say anything, right? Like, her words are not going to matter, like, at that point. And that's kind of crazy that we're kind of given that on this earth, even just playing a sport, right? I'm not even talking about people who go through, like, hardships that are hard to survive, right? Like let alone what's happening in Pakistan and Syria and, like, all these different, like, countries, right? But, like, even playing a sport in that real moment of, like, when you're like, I don't know who has control of this. Like, no one has control of this, but Ya Allah, like, you have control of it. Even as Muslims who might have been struggling, somehow we still knew to say, Bismillah, like, let me get something out of this, even though maybe I'm not praying 5 times a day, right? So, yeah, did you guys ever think about, like, that concept of, like, hey, maybe, like, how did you, I don't want to like frame the views. I'm not sure maybe this was true for you or not, but I know for a lot of Muslim, young Muslims, it's true, is they don't think they know that much, and therefore they're like, I maybe shouldn't like. Like, they don't feel, like, a sense of, like...
I know a lot of people say, I'm not ready to do something yet. Or that, I'm not ready to pray yet. Or I'm not ready to put on the hijab or to cover my aura when it comes to, like, wearing shorts, that kind of stuff. Like, I think I've met a lot of Muslims. I've talked to a lot of Muslims where... this is not the way I was raised. Like, when my mom and my parents raised me, they were like, even if you're doing 100 things wrong, if you can do one thing right, like, that is still a drop in your... on the scale when it comes to your good deeds. Mm-hmm. But I know a lot of my friends who I've talked to, they're like... hey, I don't feel like I know enough yet, or I don't feel a connection enough to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yet to start praying, just start fasting, or just start doing something. Yeah. So if that is relevant to y'all,
yeah, and it doesn't, I'm not saying you have figured that all out right now. Yeah. Like, we're all in college. Like, the point of this entire podcast is literally to say, like, word for word, like, I'm not there yet, right? But the thing is, like, we can work on our way there. So, like, did you ever have that questioning moment of, like, that, and how did you kind of overcome that? If it's not true, then we don't have to cover that, yeah.
No, I think everyone goes through that, like not feeling like they know enough or not feeling like they're good enough for something. But for me, even like now, like I try to devote as much time as I can to research and understand more about Islam, right? And so even now, like I'm reading a textbook just to gain more information. And I think it's just like taking that next step and taking it upon yourself to research and gain that information. And I always like to make the analogy of like, oh, I can take the time out to make extra free throws. I can take the time out to study for my anatomy exam. I can take the time out to do all these other things. Why can't I take the time out to research a little bit more about Islam? Mm-hmm. And so even if it's just like even yesterday, like I didn't really feel like I wanted to open up the textbook and read more, but then I was like, you know what? Like even one page for yesterday was good enough. And so just like taking a little little moment of every day to just dedicate time for that is always beneficial, and just reminding yourself that like nothing in this world really matters, it's all a test. And then also knowing that like your story is already written, right? And so like anytime I have any stress or I feel like this world is too overwhelming, I'm just like, story's already written, like I don't have to. It gives me a lot of peace that way as well. So
I think it comes down to, you know, we don't have to do it, you know, we're able to do it. So I think with that mindset, you know, we can kind of experience a lot of things.
I'm glad you talked about how knowing that your story is already written is a form of peace. I know for a lot of people, especially when people like try to criticize Islam, they contextualize that as like a weakness of Islam. They're like, oh, if everything's already written, then what's the point of even doing anything? Or like, what's the point of even believing something? But the fact that like we can find peace and solace in that is really important. I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah. It also seems like you guys are pretty... Do you guys, I'm assuming, you make dua? And is that something important to you? It sounds like it is.
All the time. Okay. I'll be, like, in the car just like, oh, my gosh. Like, I just think of something random. And I'm like, okay, I got to pray right now. Like, it's just, like, a random dua. And it's even in English, right? Like, it's nothing, like, crazy. It's nothing, like, knowing all these hadiths or knowing all these different things. It's just something so simple, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's good enough for that moment, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, it for us, we make dua all the time.
I think it's part of like our daily routine.
Yeah.
So how'd that become part of daily routine? Cause that's something I'm catching the vibe of, is there's a connection there. Like, how did you foster that connection? Like through dua specifically, like, is that something that you like grew over time, or when you started relying on Islam a little bit more, you started asking for more things?
Absolutely. I think when I started taking Islam a little more seriously, I started making more dua. And it's through hardships, I think, that I got closer to Islam, making more dua. Because, you know, times are good. A lot of people, you know, aren't asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yo, you know, I need help with this and that. It's kind of through hardships, which is the sad reality, you know, because you should always be asking him for forgiveness and asking him to help you. But it's through the hardships that, you know, you kind of just rely on him more.
I don't know if you guys want to put this in there or not, but, like, as a woman, like, there is a week in our month where we're not allowed to pray and we're not able to pray. And so for me, like making dua during that time has been really beneficial. I don't know if you want to put that in there or not. You can cut it out.
No, we're putting that in there. Definitely, it's okay.
For me, that brings me a lot of peace, because although I'm not able to pray during that time, like I can always make dua. And that's something that I feel like you can do at any point, right? I was just talking about when I'll just be randomly in the car thinking of something and it'll just pop up, right? And I feel like there's so many things we can make dua for. And sometimes it's like just something as simple as like, can you please help me just understand this one concept for one test? And then it can even be bigger than that, right? And so, yeah. that's kind of how I instilled it in my life.
No, that's good. That's good. How did you... Okay, so I guess this is the last... Not last, but, like, I kind of want to talk about this part, too. You guys are obviously very successful in your endeavors. Let's say endeavors, right? So, yeah, very successful in your endeavors, right? Worldly endeavors.
To be continued,
right? Of course. But how did that not draw you away? I mean, it drew me away for sure. Like, when I was in high school and I was getting successful in the things I was doing, like...
It's a very human thing.
Yeah, it's a very human thing. Like, there was a point in time I was, like, captain of the soccer team, like, starting on lacrosse, like, rotating for football, school president. Like, there was, like, I was, like, oh, my God, so much. And I got drawn away from that. So how do you not forget, like, how you were, like, oh, this all comes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And, like my personal thing, we're talking about it in other episodes, and I'll probably do an episode on me, which is not what today is, but how did you guys manage not to forget that, you know, this all comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
I think for me, it's kind of funny, because with all the success, it brought me closer to Islam. You want to elaborate on that? Because you seemed excited.
No, sorry. No, go ahead. I didn't think you were going to say that. I was thinking the whole time you were saying that, I was like, I feel the complete opposite.
Yeah. I feel like it brought me closer. Go ahead.
Yeah. I don't know. Because I'm like, oh, I have all these good things and they can all be taken away in a blink of an eye. And so for me, it's just like growing closer with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during that time. And just like constantly praying for my blessings, honestly. Like, if there's even like one good thing that happens to me, I'm just like, right there on my prayer mat, like thanking him, you know, reading, you know, two rakat shukranike, you know, like just random things like that that really help. And I don't know, for me it's the complete opposite. I'm so fearful of all of this that it's like it drew me closer to my faith. And I feel like I think it's opposite for some people, because they think like, oh, the success is just going to keep coming and keep coming, and I'm just going to milk this out as much as I thought. But for me, I'm like, no, this is such a short term thing. Like, who knows what's going to happen? I could die tomorrow, you know? And so just keeping that at the forefront of our brains has always been good, at least good for me. So.
Yeah. Do you think having that, Ayan, back to you really fast, do you think having that Muslim friend in high school kind of helped that? Like, ground yourself, like, as something that
we're not in high school, in college. We have a masjid right nearby Lamar, and I was only going there for Friday prayers, you know, because I'm like, yo, I'm super busy, you know. I can pray in my you know, dorm room. It's not that big of a deal. But seeing him going, you know, for waking up for Fajr, going to the masjid, you know, after practice, going to Maghrib there, going to Isha there, that kind of, like, inspired me. I'm like, yo, if he can do it, why am I not doing this? I think having him there, it definitely made me closer to my deen, because even where I went to school, there's not a huge Muslim population there. Bigger than El Paso, definitely, but not as big as, you know, other places. So having him there and, you know, seeing he played Division I basketball too, you know, we're at the same level, we're both playing basketball, you know, we're both on TV, you know, we both have the same amount of clout, this and that. And just seeing him grounded, you know, being able to wake up for Fajr before practice, going to the masjid to pray, after practice going for Maghrib and Isha, you know, really inspired me and, you know, kind of forced me in a sense, you know, like, if he's doing it, I need to be doing this too. So
have you guys seen any, like, effects of, like, what you guys have done? Like, Neha, I know, like, for sure, like, you are one of the only, I think, Pakistani basketball players. Yeah, I think as far as, like, Division I level goes, like, have you seen that? Okay, this is the time for you to brag, okay? So, like, don't worry about it. Like, you could talk about yourself. Like, it's totally okay. But have you seen that trickle-down effect? And what advice would you have to, like, those younger – not advice. Like, I don't want you to just focus on giving advice right now. I want you to really think about, like, your effect, though. Like, what effect have you seen kind of come down by being a Muslim in this space for, like, maybe younger Muslims who are doing the same thing, whether it be the MD track or it be – the basketball, or it be the NBA, or it be whatever you got.
Especially Muslim girls, yeah, Muslims. Yeah.
Specifically for Muslim girls. Like, I like to hear that first. And Ayan, you can add in too. But I know there's a bit more representation for the guys, because I had some Muslim, like, friends to look up to as well.
Kind of Muslim who played male doctors. Yeah.
So.
No, when I was going through all of this, I didn't, like, recognize or realize that, like, I was one of
the impact you're making.
Or the impact that I was making, because you're just, like, on autopilot, like I was talking about earlier. You're kind of just, like, thrown into this mess. You have so many things you have to do. You have all of these tests, and you have very limited time and very limited time to reflect, I guess. But, like, once I graduated and, you know, I started, I guess, like, being on social media and just, like, sharing my story with others, that's when I kind of saw like the impact that I was making. Cause like, it's easy for people to send in DMs and like tell you how like great or how impactful or how inspirational you are. But sometimes like when you don't have that kind of platform and you're just like going through your daily life, it's very hard for someone who's really close to you to come up to you and tell you like how inspirational you are. It's a pretty uncomfortable conversation to have. And I've had those before with people that are just like, you know, on my team or, you know, close acquaintances and family members, whatever. But yeah, I would say like, I saw the impact I was making through my platform. I mean, you get DMs all the time from young
aspiring, you know, sports women.
Not just athletes, mm-hmm. but just like young Pakistani women, young South Asian women, young women in general. I've had like so many aunties and uncles come up to me and ask me like how to help their kids, and I don't know. I didn't realize I was making that impact until later. But it's always fulfilling to see those. I definitely read through all of them. I don't know that I respond to everything.
It's impossible.
But I try my hardest to like, you know, just say thank you and like kind of explain to them like my journey and stuff. But then again, that goes back to like what we were talking about earlier, where like when the successes come and you see that, like I'm always just like praying. I'm like, oh gosh, like I hope that this continues and that I'm able to keep inspiring other people. But yeah, I guess that's kind of.
Yeah, and like, what about you? Like, have you seen a benefit in that realm of anything or?
I think she said it best. I didn't really realize the impact I was making, especially as a Pakistani Division I basketball player, because there's not many of us. You know, being a Muslim at the Division I level, you know, there's very few of us. And then on top of that, being Pakistani, you know, being one of the few, her being the first women's, I didn't realize the impact I was making. Because, you know, when we come to this level, especially the Division I level, we're all on autopilot. You know, we're all trying to, you know, better ourselves, especially these 4 years of college. Everybody's trying to better themselves. We don't really take time to reflect. But it wasn't until I graduated 3 weeks ago, and not even then, probably 6 months back, you know, all the love I was getting, the DMs from, you know, younger brown kids, younger Muslims in general, you know, asking for advice, you know, uncles and aunties, you know, asking, you know, can you help out my son? Can you guide them?
And it's cool, like, when we get DMs, but, like, when we actually have people approaching us and asking us, that's when it, like, we feel like we've made an impact, because, like, we're having that face-to-face human interaction, mm-hmm. whereas, like, through our phone, it's really just some random.
And especially, like, when we're at dinner or something, you know, people come up, you know, ask for pictures.
A picture of,
like, with our parents.
You want a picture with him? What? Like.
Actually, so I watched Yaqeen's Double Take podcast, and there they have a really cool way of ending their podcast, so we might use that. This can be the ending, or we can talk a little more afterwards, too, but the way they use their ending is they bring up like a hypothetical person that's like a younger person, what you would say to them as like advice. So I'm just going to use my brother in this example, because like he's also trying to go into like Division I athletics, and he's, alhamdulillah, he's a very primary practicing Muslim as far as I can see. And he really cares about his deen. But I also know, like, I went through the whole, just the high school part of athletics, like all the way from frosh soft to like varsity. And I know that the culture isn't really ripe for to be a practicing Muslim, and just that's what I'm like really scared about. Like, I'm the oldest of three brothers. Like, I'm really scared about like what his culture, how that culture is going to shape him. So kind of like what advice, like what would you say to someone, like what would you say to your sophomore yourself, or like even my brother, who like he's trying to be practicing, but he is also putting himself in situations where it's easy to not be practicing, and how would you kind of navigate that, and advice that you would give to him if he was right here?
I think the first thing I would tell him was to get himself out of those situations and not risk putting himself in those
positions. I think setting a line, you know, drawing a line and letting people know, like, I'm a Muslim, and this is my culture, this is what I do, this is my religion, and you guys can go ahead and do what you guys do, but, you know, you don't have to incorporate me in that. And I think at the end of the day, you know, you can only resort to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so no matter what's going on in your life, no matter how much success you're getting on or off the court, it's all because of him. You know,
and I think being confident in that, I know it might seem like in this society that you're odd and that you're different. And I think just taking a different angle and being like, yeah, I'm different, and I'm going to embrace it, and I'm going to show people like who I am and what I believe in. Mm-hmm. And instead of getting hate for it, inspire others. And that's the kind of angle we've taken. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I would tell him. And it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. You're going to be placed in situations where you're like, oh, my friends are going, like, it'll be fun. Like, I need to experience this. Everyone else is doing it. But you need to take a step back and recognize, like, you're probably going to end up there, and then you're going to see what's going on, and you're going to be like, what is this? Like, I don't belong here. I'm very different. I'm not going to engage any of the activities that are being engaged in right now. Mm-hmm. It's just going to feel awkward. You're going to be like, what am I doing here? Mm-hmm. And I don't know. There's so much I would tell him. Yeah. I would love to have a conversation with him and just explain it, because he'd probably be able to understand us if we were to have like a 30-minute conversation versus like 2 minutes of a spiel of just random advice. But I guess that's the kind of like the headliners.
This is totally off topic, but I was just thinking, growing up, I wasn't really around Muslims, you know, because there's no Muslims here. I didn't really have any Muslim friends. And like looking at myself now, all my friends are, you know, most of them are Muslim. Like I was just in Chicago and literally all my friends are Muslims, and like a couple of them are Hafizes too. So it's like, you know, it kind of like me staying toward my deen and, you know, staying with Islam throughout my, you know, upbringing kind of brought me to, you know, me being here now with a bunch of Muslim friends. It's the greatest feeling.
That's great.
Yeah, I also don't want to make like the assumption that we're all perfect, right? So I guess it's my last question, then maybe you can conclude things, but obviously we're not all perfect. We all made mistakes in some degree and level. How did you use, I guess, that guilt? Because like we talked about this earlier too, was there's a natural feeling of guilt and regret when you're doing something you're not supposed to be doing, or after you've done something that you shouldn't have been doing. So obviously don't tell me all about your like maybe mistakes, but obviously you did make mistakes. How did you get over those mistakes? Like, what was that process like? And again, what's weird is like you said that when you got successful, you know, you credit that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Was that the same for the mistakes? Was when the mistakes happened, did you turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or was there more of a rough patch there? Take your time. Bro, you should hang out with me and Brother Dean for a day. Some of the conversations we have go for days. It's nuts.
And to get heated.
Bro, we have the most philosophical people in this college. Like, it's ridiculous. But keep going, yeah. Take your time. Think about it. How did you use that guilt and regret to like kind of build off?
Did it go more?
Well, what a blessing it is to have that guilt, right? You know, you're in danger when you don't have that guilt and that calling and that that feeling within yourself. But for me, I think I make mistakes all the time, you know, and that's inevitable. We're human. We're gonna sin, and it's just a matter of like getting back on your prayer mat and like asking for forgiveness and being very sincere and asking for forgiveness. And just recognizing that that was a mistake and not doing it again intentionally. Like if you do it unintentionally, like it makes sense. But if you're like intentionally going to do it again, that same thing over and over and over and over and over and over again, it's like, are you really like asking for forgiveness? Mm-hmm. Are you actually going to change and make a difference? And so that's something that I try to like set, and something as simple as like maybe saying a bad word here and there. Like sometimes I'll get mad and like things will slip out, and it's hard because it's like something that's like ongoing and it'll like constantly be being said. But I just like have to watch my mouth and like next time around, like just be like, okay, like maybe don't say that word, you know?
I think overall, just having your intention straight. I always try to have my intention straight, regardless if it's good or bad, the outcome. Just trying to have your intentions on the right path. I think that's a big thing.
Do you say your intentions like just in your head, or do you write it down somewhere? Like, are you the journal type kid?
No, in general, you know, just I think having your intentions straight, you know, like going to Friday namaz, you know,
he's
every
not
Friday.
Not much of a journaler. Yeah. Like, he sees me journaling and he's like, what are you doing?
Everything's in my head. You know, everything like, I have to do, I don't write down. It's a bad habit. I need to change that. But just having your intentions straight, I think, is a big thing for me.
For sure. You got any more questions?
Oh, that's great.
I didn't answer the question, did I?
No, you did. I mean,
if you have anything to add, go for it.
Yeah, you want to add more to it, go for it. Or in hell,
just pour out all your sins.
Any final thoughts?
No.
I'm just joking.
I think intention is a big thing for me. I don't know about you. Is that a big thing for you? Just having your intention straight?
No, definitely not. 100%.
Like breathing down my throat, like, get away, man.
I don't know what else to say.
No, that's fair. That's fair. That was good. All right, awesome. Jazakallah khair for coming on today.
Taking the time
to talk about what you wanted to do. I'm just repeating what you're saying now. I have no words, but no, I think you guys shared quite a bit more than you know.
Yeah.
Maybe you think
this podcast isn't about like scholarly like thoughts and like hadith and Quran. Like there's a lot of podcasts about that and a lot of content about that, but the content that we don't see often is people like you talking about your experiences. Like, what did you go through? Like, how did you deal with that? What were the thought processes? Because we don't really, everyone talks about like what they did or what they didn't do, but no one talks about what they were thinking when they did that or what they did or what they were thinking when they did after that. So the whole idea of like you attributing your success to being more vulnerable in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like that's all that stuff. Like people have that, but they don't really talk about it. So JazakAllah for taking the time and talking about it.
Honestly, I'm going to probably keep in the last part of this because I do want everyone to kind of hear this stuff like this last like minute half. Because the reason why is because, hear me out, in the past societies, in Muslim societies, people used to have a community, right? They used to have like, you can see things. You would be able to learn from the generation above you, right?
People would talk in person instead of online.
People would talk in person instead of online, right? Like there was an ability to see someone you could look up to and provide advice. I mean, everyone has to kind of go through their own struggle at one point, but now it's really, really drastic where kids are like literally turning away from Islam because they're entering a sports world or something, right? So like the point of this and what you guys are doing literally is great, that you're just doing what you're doing and you're also calling yourself Muslim and then you're trying your best to practice. So I appreciate you guys for that.
No, we appreciate you for acknowledging you so much. That. Yeah,
of course.
All right, everyone. JazakAllah khair for your time. JazakAllah khair for tuning in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.